Hi. I'm Alexander Charles Adams, and I'm the creator and producer of Smash Cut. This time last year, we had just released a piece called Hi, I'm Maddie, about my friend Matthew Cavan. This piece was, and still is, one of the most difficult things I've ever worked on. And at the time, I could only see the piece for the weight it put on my heart and on the hearts of everyone who worked on it. A year later, however, Hi, I'm Maddie has become a source of conversation and pride for everyone who works on Smash Cut, and more importantly, for Maddie. Today, we're bringing you an interview we did with him before attending the Hearsay International Audio Festival in Kilfinnan, which shortlisted the piece for Best Audio Fiction of 2017. Now, if you haven't heard the piece, Hi, I'm Maddie, it might be best for you to stop this tape and go back and listen. Our conversation with Maddie makes more sense that way. From a tiny closet of a room in Queen's University, Belfast, here is my conversation with Maddie. I hit record, so.
Are you?
How are you doing?
I am very good. How are you, Alexander Zander?
Quite great.
Good. I'm glad you're quite great.
So, do you mind introducing yourself for the microphone?
Hello, microphone. Hi, I'm Maddie.
Oh.
I am an actor and drag queen from Belfast, and I worked on a piece for Smash Cut last year called Hi, I'm Maddie.
I guess, just jumping right in, thinking about how intense Hi, I'm Maddie was a year ago, how do you think about it now?
It was really interesting because last year I listened to it and I think it was I was in a very different headspace this time last year. So whenever I listened to it originally, I found it quite difficult to take in. Obviously, we were very close to it then and we had been working on it for so long and, you know, we ended up writing a lot together and revisiting it myself because I hadn't visited it in a while. I found it really interesting, but I felt slightly disconnected from it. It felt like I was listening to something slightly new that I hadn't really heard before. And I think that's probably just within the headspace that I'm in at the minute. When it delves so much into a lot of the hurt that I experienced. And also my best friend Neil voiced me in the piece, which was also a very strange experience this time around, just rehearing his voice as mine. But I, all in all, I think it's an incredible piece and I am very proud and very happy of it.
Did you and Neil ever have a conversation after we finished recording it about what it was like to voice you ever? Did it ever come up?
It did. Actually, it came up quite soon after we recorded it. Neil, there was a bit of me slightly miffed by it because I was like, Neil, do I sound that camp to you whenever I talk? Like, because I think he slightly, especially at the start of Hi, I'm Maddie, or whenever we were doing the Grindr conversations, he seemed quite camp with it all. And then whenever it was the more interview, I was the interviewer asking Maddie, in quotation marks, questions. He seemed a lot more toned down, and I think he took a bit of artistic licensing with me. But we had a really good laugh about that. And, you know, because there is obviously times that I am incredibly camp. I'm a drag queen, I have to be. And I'm not saying that camp is a bad thing, but I definitely just whenever I heard the campness come through in the talking, I find it slightly jarring. But he was making it his own. And to be fair, whenever the Grindr conversation started, I think I probably was slightly camper. I think whenever you come out, you kind of explode out and everything, for me anyway, everything had to be pink and fluffy and sparkly. And the world needed to know that I was a flaming homosexual. Whereas now I am very much comfortable within myself. I don't feel like I need to be advertising that all the time. So I think through experience and life, my campness toned down. And I think it's quite interesting because you see that arc within the piece that it gets slightly less camp towards the end. As I grew up.
Talking about how your voice is different through Neil, how do you think about
a larger audience than even just Northern Ireland or Ireland in the UK, now knowing your story, your voice being even further reaching when it comes to the Grindr abuse?
I think it's a really important story to be told because this happens. And I am pretty certain it doesn't just happen in Northern Ireland. I think it's probably a worldwide thing that people get abuse online.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the people... I think the reason I got abuse was because I was so honest about my story. And that makes people nervous. People get scared of honesty, I believe. It's much easier just to not hear the truth and just to get on with life and, you know, think that everything's rosy, but it's not. So whenever you have someone being honest, it puts people's back up. And I think that can happen anywhere. So I think it's a really important story to be told throughout the world. And I'm really glad that we were able to do it and it was able to be picked up. It was very difficult. I had to revisit a lot of things. I had to, especially the Grindr stuff, because I've done so much about, you know, my diagnosis and coming to terms with my diagnosis and, you know, those first couple of years of living with HIV, that kind of, I feel a bit numb to that now because I talk about it quite a lot. So whenever you have a family dealing with it, I can't control their emotions. I can't protect them from that. They just had to sit there and listen to it. And I find that quite emotionally difficult. But afterwards, they found it really beneficial. I think they realized that, not that they didn't realize the severity of it at the time, but I think, you know, especially whenever it happens so much, it ends up sounding a little bit trivial and it sounds a bit like, you know, it's just another Grindr. It's troll. You know, why are you on that? You know, you're kind of doing this to yourself, the fact that you're on that. But whenever they had to listen to it, whenever any of my friends had to listen to it, they realized the actual severity of that and the fact that, you know, no matter how many times you receive this abuse, it doesn't get any easier. If anything, it gets slightly harder because there's another bit of your trust for society and humanity stripped away. Because there's another person that is saying these horrible things.
Whether or not it connected to people who have experienced that kind of abuse, a very good friend of mine started to listen to Hi, I'm Maddie, and he's positive. And the second that Noel's character says, "Are you clean?" he like just had to stop it.
Yeah.
He just had to stop the tape, and he was like, I need to take 3 Valium before I even go any further into this. I thought I was ready and I wasn't.
Yeah.
Do you think of Hi, I'm Maddie as a piece for more of a piece for negative people to learn about struggles of being positive and coming through that so that they understand a little bit better and be kinder? Or do you feel it's more of a piece for other positive people to go, I identify with this. I have gone through this kind of thing and I'm still here and I'm great. And so are you.
So I think it's very much a piece working for both sides to the story. I think there is a lot of people out there that are positive or living with HIV that need to hear it, that need to understand that it's the reason why I went public in the first place was to make people go, right, so there is someone who's a young guy who's healthy, who's pretty cool, that has a really pretty class lifestyle, and he's fine. So I too can have that. I too can strive for that. By the way, my life in its entirety is not fully sorted, and I'm not claiming to be the, you know, the be all and end all of HIV. And you know, there is days that it's still absolutely shit, but, you know, on a whole, it is much brighter than it used to be. I then also think it is really important for people who are not HIV positive to hear. I speak now in my show, in my drag show, before the I Sing I Am What I Am, I talk about the shooting in Pulse nightclub. I talk about Chechnya. And I also say I'm not just claiming that it's gay people that have a hard time. I think it's anyone that's just a little bit different. And I, one thing that I do say in my show is that I think as a human race, as a society, if we all decided to understand a little bit more and love a little bit harder, and in general be much more crack, we would be in a much better place in the world. And I genuinely believe that in all aspects. And I think within the, our thoughts about HIV is if we just try to understand a little bit more about it, love the people that are living with it, love their families, love the people who are affected by HIV a little bit more, and just, you know, be more crack about HIV instead of being so doom and gloom about it. The stigma, I think, would start to vanish. I think that there would be a better outlook on HIV. It would be better for people living with HIV because life would seem a little, just a little bit brighter because they would feel a little bit more supported. So I think it's really important that, you know, hopefully this piece will make people think and understand and feel compassion.
So the whole piece is verbatim text, or mm-hmm. I mean the Grindr profiles are something that we, while very drunk, wrote like 50 of them out in a notebook, which is so much fun. But everything else was either spoken from you or pulled from screen grabs or your memory, except the very last conversation.
Yeah.
How did hearing that last conversation make you feel?
Well, I just really wanted to find him. I love whoever that person that we created is. I think anyone who loves coffee the same amount that I love coffee is a winner in my book. And I think Johnny plays that beautifully. An actor called Johnny McMillan, I think it just was gorgeous for that. I think, you know, it does put a bit of a fairy tale ending on it, because I still haven't found him yet. But one day I believe someone somewhere will hear that conversation and they'll realize that that's actually them, and they should probably just get in touch with me and we should fall in love, get married, have a house and beautiful children and really beautiful puppies. So hopefully that will happen someday soon.
I mean, you already have one beautiful puppy.
I have a very beautiful puppy. She's really gorgeous. She's a absolute terror, though.
I remember you got Lola like right before I left.
Yes.
And I'm curious, did working on Glory and on Hi I'm Maddie influence your decision to get a pet at all? Because I'm curious, because it was a dark time for a lot of us that were working on the piece, because it was really heavy and so many moving parts,
yeah.
Like countless moving parts. And then like right before it all ended, you were like, hey, I got this beautiful thing that makes me happy.
Yeah. You know what, actually, I suppose I've never really thought about it that way, but actually I would say so. We, with him working on Hi I'm Maddie and Glory, I think it got me into a very, very strange mental place. And especially with the guy that said that he had stalked me, the stalker that knew where I lived, knew where I worked, the times that I was out and in, the guy that wanted to come and dance on my head and stamp on my chest and all of like that person. Really, like that is a terrifying thing. And I don't think Lola brings any protection because she's, she's not very big. But she fills my home that previously was filled with fear, with a joy. I look forward to getting home because I know that there's going to be a bouncing bundle of joy, just delighted to see me. And I suppose before I had her, I didn't have that at my house. You know, I had horrible thoughts getting back there, and I locked the door and I was by myself. And I know whenever I get home that she's there waiting on me. I suppose doing Glory and Hi I'm Maddie really did have a part to play in why I got the dog.
We've talked a lot about what it's given other people, but I'm curious, other than Lola, what has Hi I'm Maddie given you?
I think there's a certain amount of counselling you can go to, and there's a certain amount of tablets you can take and everything to sort of help you deal with stuff. But actually, this became a real version of counselling and mentoring for me, and having to just deal with all of this stuff that, you know, you'd in a very different way to going and talking to a counselor about it, just having to face up to this stuff that's happened to me and make something beautiful from that. And I think that that's what I've always tried to do with my story, is take the negative and make a positive out of it. And I think we really have done that with Hi, I'm Matty. And it's something that I don't think about a lot, because there is times it's still very hard to deal with. And I think that's why I took such a break from listening to it, mm-hmm. from, you know, initial time to a month ago. I needed a time where I just didn't deal with it. But listening back to it, you made something incredible out of something so awful that happened to me, that I can now look back on and be very proud of and gain strength from. And then hearing the reaction and hearing the stories of people that have been touched by it as well, and not just in Northern Ireland, but throughout the world. So, you know, your friend that is positive has to take Valium to listen to it. But I think for people, having to hear that and deal with that will help them in their journey as well.
Yeah.
I talked there for 15 minutes and 35 seconds. I'm very proud of myself.
I loved every second of it. I mean, yeah, I am most likely, I can say this with some assurance, that I will be thankful to you forever for giving me that story.
I will also be thankful for making you making me do that story.
Ah, okay, I can't cry. So
don't cry, because I'll laugh at you. I'm not crying, so you're not allowed to cry.
Okay.
It's nearly happened 3 times though, so okay. You just have to phone it in.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me and revisiting all of this. And
you are welcome.
Yeah.
What can I say except you're welcome?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, babe. Lovely to see you.
And that was my conversation with Matthew Cavan. If you're in Belfast, you can see him as his drag persona, Cherry on Top, at the Belfast Cabaret Supper Club every Sunday. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @SmashcutCast. And leave us a rate and review on your favorite podcasting app. Our new season is coming out very soon, and we are extremely excited to share it with you. Until then, thank you for listening.
Two guys and a rogue.
I'm one guy.
I'm the other.
And this is The Network.